We're going to now take a look at another part of America. We're going to, which you've all heard about, which is Ecuador. We're going to take some time now, where there's been a lot of opposition recently. Roque Espinosa, Mr. Roque Espinosa is going to talk to us about the situation in Ecuador.
Sometimes we tend to be forced to speak in international language that becomes some form of a linguistic imperialism that implies other forms of oppression and control. I think that if we want to change things, we have to transform this condition for participation, which imposes on us a linguistic domination upon us that still exists in the present time. So, thanks to alternatives, I'm here. I belong to an international network that is called Mundo Solidario, Responsible Solidarity. And the idea is to create connections to build up alternative. And I believe that the Hemispheric Social Alliance is part of that process, and I hope that they can do a good job before Quebec 2001. I hope that we can define some joint activities. In a second place, I'd like to make a small observation. This meeting is called Resistance in the Americas. We believe that it's an unhappy or non-proper slogan. Resistance, in our view, implies a passive action. However, we have to be more proactive, oriented to more action, to the struggle against the neoliberalism and to the system, against the free trade. The struggle, and not only resistance, will allow us to achieve this goal. We believe that it's through our struggle that we can generate and create responses and ultimately to build up our own. From the perspective of the struggle, I'm going to talk to of Ecuador. I'm trying to answer to the question that some of you that are aware of Latin American realities are concerned about what is going on in Latin America, are also concerned about what's going on in Ecuador. Around this theme, I will make some observations. I'm really, maybe I will need to use more time than I is required, so I'm sorry about it, but probably I will not be able to explain the complexity of the situation in my country. What Ecuador is? It's the smallest country of the south region, along with Uruguay. The last report of the UNDP says that is the poorest of the Latin America, and that the poverty is growing. That is growing faster than what is happening in Guatemala, that used to be a reference to measure poverty lines. What is the reason of this poverty in Ecuador? To respond to this, I will make a statement. The premise is, in a way, what happened in Ecuador is an effect of the applicability of the neoliberal model. So from this perspective, then, I will deal with this presentation. To illustrate better the poverty situation in my country, I will make reference to some official statistics that are in use. At the present time, more than 70% of the population live below the line of poverty. And this one reached a dramatic 95% in the rural sector, where the indigenous sector is the most affected one. It's also evident that this situation is more evident in the cities. Between 98 and 99, the urban poverty reached 83%, and the indigenous people without any kind of assistance is 27.5%. Unemployment and self-employed have grown drastically. 71% of the population, active economic population, is affected by unemployment and self-employment. The unemployment is around 18% of the population economically active. Food security. In February of 2000, the income of 73.8% of the household was not enough to cover the basic spending, the basic food needs. And the income of 55.3% of the people wouldn't even cover the basic food needs, the very basic, the food of the poor, the food that only poor consume. In February 1999, the basket of food, basic basket, was $160, and when the salary was $52. This basket will cost $320 at the end of the year, with a minimum salary of $60. There are the optimism of the government that it will grow to 74%, which is still not enough to cover 320. So one of the problems is, for instance, is 91% of the household receive $5 for support for kids. So they cannot, 91% of the household cannot make a big important use of these $5. Actually, at the present time, the estimates is that at the popular level, people are eating once a day. In 1999, in education, the estimated was that 400,000 kids abandoned the school. That means 20% of the students that were in the school, that because they couldn't either pay the basics or pay the schools. According to it's a bonus solidarity bonus, that's something that I'm not aware of. It's related to a survey say that about 20% of the wealthiest region of Ecuador, the coast, 20% of them, they stopped to send to school at least one of their kids. Even the people that have a better living condition.
De los ecuatorianos existentes
the Ecuadorian citizens are 13 million. Out of this, the estimate is 10% have left the country as immigrants. That only happen in other countries due to catastrophes or natural events or dictatorship, I would say, that is my understanding. That's the reality of my country. These indexes of violence, social violence, and security, apathy, indifference, or to participate in anything.
¿Cuál es la causa de esta situación?
What is the reason of this?
La causa a nivel, el Ecuador atraviesa una crisis
Ecuador
económica,
política, is going
social,
through a social, economic, and political crisis.
Una crisis que se expresa, quiero que ustedes ubiquen,
that is manifest
is a
the GNP had decreased minus 7.3% annually.
Is the
highest decrease rate in any country of the world. This as a result of the neoliberal policies. What is the immediate cause? Ecuador has suffered the bankruptcy of the financial system. So the government, to support this, the government transferred $6 billion in a way that the bank would not follow the domino effect. The Ecuadorian bankers left the country and they took all the money and they are in the United States. The bankruptcy of the system and of the financial system is due to a paralyzation of the economy and a deflation mixed with a growing inflation. But as the economist said and know, that is the dangerous thing that can happen to a country. I will insist that the bankruptcy of the country is responsible for this decrease of 7.3%. So in this context, and with the intention and to change the country and the corruption and to promote a proposal that will target to to an improvement of the situation of the people in indigenous rural sectors. The January 21st, after 15 days of almost full paralyzation of the country, the Council of Indigenous Nations and some progressive military composed a structural base around colonels and captains, young officers. They invade the National Congress. They capture the Congress. They deposed the corrupt government that the Mr. Maguad at the time, and they established a Junta of National Salvation, a Junta of National Salvation. And an army officer became informally as president, an alliance with the indigenous people. After a very tense day, very tense and dramatic day, at midnight of the same day, of that day, the armed forces they removed the colonel that he was as chief of the junta and they moved to the Ministry of Defense in charge, and they also removed the junta and the armed forces under pressure of the State Department and U.S. and the right wing, and the threat of that the Latin American country wouldn't recognize this new government. Also, the armed forces did the same. They removed the junta fully, and they gave back the government to the former vice president, Gustavo Noboa, which is now the president of the country. The right wing won the fight, and the natives, the indigenous people, were left out again. 3 p.m. that day, in another city of the country, in Guayaquil, a Congress that met in a rush recognize the new president that used to be the vice president of the people's government, actually the president. Up to that point, it seemed that the crisis was solved. That's how it's been presented historically. That is how the emergency of the and the mobilization of people is being presented. It's like the process ended up with a solution. That's for the right wing. That was a brief period, and that is the crisis was solved. But obviously, that is not true, and the crisis is still there. To control the economic crisis of Ecuador, under the initiative of bankers and entrepreneurial corporations, supported by the IMF, the new president imposed the dollarization of the economy. That at this time, Ecuador is a fully dollarized country. And this served to achieve three main goals. First, what the economy is to put a weight of the tariffs, exchange rates, so the equivalent of $1 was 25,000 sucres, which is the Ecuadorian money. So in the past, it used to be 500 sucres for $1. Now it's 25,000 within a year term. Sorry, it was 5,000 sucres, and now it's 25. That also favored the financial system. They wouldn't need too much money. The state and the economy was going to provide the money for the bank from the financial system. This also allowed to renegotiate the debt, and the people that had saving, the money was frozen. The stability of has created an apparent climate or environment for investments, but we haven't enjoyed any foreign investment in the country recently. So the consequences, some of them, the consequences of dollarization, fundamentally the living cost rises and the cost of production. Now, however, the cost of life is not measured in sucres. It's the Ecuadorian currency, it's in dollars. This also has not created a redistribution of movement of the tariff, of the rate exchange. At the present time, the loan costs are 20%. It's the highest rate of interest in the world in dollars. Somehow, there is more speculation of capitals and movement of capital, flying capitals. The doors are open for the laundry money from narcotraffic and other. Ecuador is becoming a country to laundry money for narcotraffic and other. Obviously, there is not more income or better, no more employment, and the situation of poverty has deteriorated. Being, of course, the most affected, the indigenous people and the other marginal sector of the country, marginalized sector. To give you a view officially, they say that 10% of the wealthiest Ecuadorians concentrate between 45% to 50% of the national income, while the 10%, the poorest 10%, can only concentrate 0.4%. That is a show of the situation of crisis in Ecuador. What has happened after the crisis? The colonels and the captains that were involved in the movement against the president, they were detained and incarcerated for 110 days. Yet, for fear of new problems, they were released and they are now become political actors and social actors that are trying to make part of the struggle. Like the CONAIE, which is the indigenous The Council of Indigenous Nationalities, the strongest movement of Ecuador, has withdrawn and has given up a time term to the government that they're reflecting about what is happening, and they're trying to reorganize their forces, but they are on the government is trying to cooptate, divide and institutionalize them, with the objective of that the Ecuadorian military do not get involved in politics. The Ecuadorian invent a new war in agreement with the U.S. politics of Clinton's administration, implemented by Madame Albright and the U.S. Army. The Ecuadorian army has conceded regions, have given regions and places for the U.S. government to control the supposed guerrilla that do not exist. The idea, of course, is to regionalize the conflict along Colombia. The Plan Colombia is an effort to bring the Ecuadorian military out of politics, and to support the present government and the interventionist politics of the U.S. Government. I said that the economic crisis for the powerful, for the wealthy, seems to be solved. Probably this discourse will still alive in the near future. But Ecuador lives a dramatic situation of deflation and paralyzation of the economy and then inflation. For the poor, the situation has deteriorated notably. Not only the poverty and violence has grown. Ecuadorians still live in the country. People. It's an instruction now to detain and to stop any Ecuadorian immigrant. When I came to this country, I was detained at the custom for 1 hour. The crisis of my country is not resolved, has not been resolved. Because the society and the indigenous movement and the ensemble of the population is mobilized. We don't know where this is going to end. People think that a new explosion might happen, more crisis and movements might happen. But sometimes poverty and crisis not necessarily always open ways for mobilization or solutions or confrontation. But that we can end up in a struggle without norms, without ethics. And that can be a tragedy. However, the situation in the indigenous people, in the committee of organizations and social groups that participated in January 21st, all of them, they are on a latent attitude. Waiting. I insist it's a crisis that is not being solved, that internationally has been promoted as a crisis solved, but soon it will contribute to the recovery of the economy. What is the message of all of this? If we want to come to Quebec, we can not only resist, we should not only resist, we have to fight and to show the result of the model. The Ecuadorian situation is only one, is one clear example of the impact of neoliberalism and globalization, against which all of us should fight.